Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Red Sox are down to their last strike in the ninth inning. Jeff Hoffman against Gonzalez. Pitch is right down the middle. Called strike three. And the game with a bitter taste is over.
It's over.
Red Sox fall to the Blue Jays by a final score of 5-3 and drop the series. They are now 41-44.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe today. Taking all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We were talking Celtics, we were talking Bruins last hour. Let's get back to the Red Sox.
Red Sox?
If you want to, yes.
If they want to be like the mammoth.
Don't pluralize it.
Red Sox.
A singular.
The Boston Red Sox. Just one.
Just one of them. Left or right. The way they're going, though, this weekend, they dropped 2 out of 3 again.
I hate watching this team right now.
They continue to. Wait, who was that again?
That's Hogdale.
Oh, that was Hog. I forgot about that.
Hog is going through it right now.
He was, I didn't check up on his, I was in Maine this weekend, Mego. So
no
I was,
excuse. They have plenty of Wi-Fi up there.
I should have.
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you, Maine. Very, very exclusive. And no, I hadn't kept up on him over the weekend. So yeah, we'll have to see if he's really going through it. I imagine he is, as most Red Sox fans are. Dropped 2 out of 3. They are not playing well since the Rafael Devers trade. I like that trade more than most. Even I can admit it. It's not going great.
Although for either side.
I was going to say, it's not going great for the Giants and Devers either, if we're being honest. But what we care about is here and how the team has played since that trade. I do think this series kind of sums up the Red Sox pretty well. They lose the series, but they outscore their opponent because they hammered them 15-1 in the middle game. That's how you can be 41-44, 3 games below .500 with a positive scoring differential. The runs come in bunches, but they don't happen often enough. Nothing really aligns with this team. Keith says this all the time. That's a hallmark of a bad team. On the nights where they pitch well, they can't score. On the nights where they score, they don't pitch well. That is what bad teams do. And this has been a bad team now for the last few weeks and really for the last few years. And it seems like they're in the exact same spot they've been. So, no, this kind of summed up their entire season this weekend against the Blue Jays. Big series. They lose another one.
Yeah, this team has no identity. They have no consistency. You don't know what team you're getting on any given night. Except when Garrett Crochet is out there, you go, okay, we're at least going to get a good start from him. Other than that, Aroldis Chapman. Those are the two pieces I think that you can look at now at this point and say, these are two guys who at least we know what we're going to get. Any other night, it's like, I don't know. You got to cut some slack to somebody like Roman Anthony, who's just getting his feet wet in the majors. But it's like, nobody knows who Jarren Duran is this year. You could be getting somebody just exploding at the plate and then they disappear for 2 weeks. You could get a nice start from somebody else for 2 games in a row, and then they just disappear. It's like there's no consistency. There's nothing that they found where you go other than those two pitchers and say, that's their bread and butter. That's the kind of team they are. When they see a team like X, they will respond like Y. It's just any given night, who knows what's going to happen. It's a coin flip with this team.
Yeah. I mean, most nights, unfortunately, you have a good idea they're probably going to lose, at least more often than not, with the way they've been going. So I'll ask you. I asked you this earlier. I heard Greg and company talking about this morning. I mean, are they done? Is it, as Nick played for us there, is it over? Because it feels like they're getting close to it if they're not there yet.
They're not done, but they're on life support. And in a way, to me, that's more irritating. Because if they're done, then you can at least start talking about selling off these pieces and you're going to lean into the kids. And that's what it's going to be about, developing all that in the second half of the year. But again, every summer we sit here and they're around this line. They're mediocre. You wonder what they're going to do at the trade deadline. Which pieces are they going to continue to develop and build? And who, like, in my opinion, Aroldis Chapman is worth moving on from, because it's just kind of like a rental anyway. Like, I'm just so tired of it. It feels like there is this underlying thing with the team for the last several years where at best they're mediocre, and it's starting to feel like it's too generous to call them that, because they're just kind of bad every year. They're just kind of bad every year.
You know what's crazy? They actually were way better than we all remember last year. Like on July 1st last year, they were four games over 500.
I remember because Arcan was talking about it endlessly. Arcan
true.
Was like, as soon as they get to 10 straight wins, and I'm on the bandwagon and I'm not getting off.
No, not 10 straight. They had to be 10 games over 500.
Oh, that's
his cutoff.
That's what it was.
I think they got to nine, certainly in the second half of last year. Yeah, they were. Last year was, to a degree, like a feather in the cap for Cora. Bad roster. He maximized the roster. By the way, that team last year was 13-11 without Rafi Devers, just to harp on that. I don't think it's all about trading Devers. I think these problems, I'd agree with you, run deeper than that. But we do forget, like, until they fell off a cliff after the trade deadline last year, and really in September last year, they were somewhat competitive and maybe even overachieving last year. But largely, I agree with you. It's, you know, 4 years of this. Two last place finishes. They were 500 last year. They're under 500 right now. 3.5 parts of 4 years. So what's the common thread there? It's not Breslow. As much as people hate Breslow these days, and I guess you're right to not believe in him. I like a lot of the moves he made, but if you tie it directly to Devers and you think the team's nosediving because of that, well, then fine. But you can't put it all on Breslow these last couple of years. He wasn't here. You know, Bloom lost his job because of where things were heading with the team. So the common thread to me is ownership and, by proxy, Cora. I mean, that's what's wrong with the Red Sox. It's not Devers is now gone. Different players have come and gone. Different GMs have come
mostly
and gone. Yeah, well, mostly. So, you know, I think those are kind of the commonalities. And I do wonder how much longer they're going to go forward with Cora, because I do think Breslow these days, and this is a recent shift for me, I think Breslow's safer than Cora after the Devers fallout from the Kansas City meeting and the way Cora handled it. I now think he's on better, more solid footing than Cora, and I don't think it's a lot Cora makes it through the year. I don't.
When you say he's on more solid footing with ownership, do you think that means that he wields more power at this point? Because I'm very curious.
I would say yes to that. Yeah.
After this Devers trade and all this information that continues to trickle out from different reporting sources, whether you believe them or not, there's a lot of information that comes out of there, and I'm starting to get the sense
that Cora's the source. Me too. I agree. With all the bad information that comes out, yes, I agree.
No,
Cora's the source.
No, that Breslow is so much more powerful in this front office than I thought he was. Honestly, like, at this point last year, I was like, Breslow is just the new Bloom. He's just taking marching orders. And for the most part, he'll be able to make a little tweak here or there. But it's really about what ownership wants to spend and what they're willing to do. And now I'm starting to wonder if Breslow and maybe Theo Epstein is, like, you know, either the devil or angel on his shoulder, depending on how you see him these days. If he's turning around and telling ownership, like, this is going to be both cost saving and smarter. And so they're letting him run a little wild.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have to understand, too. The fans might not be happy with the Devers trade. Ownership is. Like, ownership was fully on board with the Devers. They didn't care about the return.
Oh, especially after John Henry has a face-to-face with Devers, and they come out of it, and Devers says, I'm not freaking playing defense again.
Two meetings, according to Passan. They met with him, then Henry had breakfast with him again the next day, which, to be a fly on the wall for that breakfast, I would have loved to have seen. What John Henry and Rafael Devers eat at that breakfast, I would have loved to have seen both.
Order? Breakfast is a really awkward business meeting.
You think so?
Yeah. Breakfast food is kind of gross to eat in front of other people.
I don't. Yeah, well, yeah, I can see that. like a runny egg.
Yeah. Or it's just like you get a big scramble. Like there's a
or
lot
like a bagel with cream cheese. There's a schmear all over your face. Like you don't want that.
Devers ordered like a triple decker of chocolate chip French toast, and John Henry's like, "That's it." Stands up and he's like, "Get him out of here." And
that sounds so good, though.
And Sam Kennedy chewed John Henry's food for him. Yeah. So I mean, I'm sure it went something like that. Yeah.
Everybody got something small. He got the Hungry Man meal.
Yeah, a couple of them. So it was multiple meetings. To your point. And no, I think Henry was done then. So, like, fans might be pissed about the trade. Understand that ownership is fully on board, but ownership directed it, for God's sakes. So when I say Breslow has more power, I guess I would answer it that way. I would answer yes because of that. And I think Cora's the one on less solid footing, for sure.
So it makes me wonder if then you look back at the situation of even before getting to the John Henry scenario of having to have a meeting with Devers, that basically, it sounds like Cora was like, it's going to hurt the relationship between Raffy and I too much if I tell him he has to move positions again, which I don't buy at all. Like, if you're taking that, that's ridiculous. That's part of your job. You have to tell the players that they have to move positions.
Well, not only is it your job, it's the thing we've always been told he's good at.
Right.
Like, it's the thing he's supposed to be best at. Yeah.
He understands the player. He's been in their shoes, so he can do it. Well, he couldn't do it in that scenario, so he basically has to turn and tell Breslow, and then Breslow gets reamed out through the translator by Devers. Like, it makes me wonder about where the relationship stands between Cora and Breslow, which is why I ask.
I don't wonder. I don't think it's
good.
Who
wields more power? And if Breslow is like the favorite son, the number one boy within the Red Sox franchise right now, I think that's really bad news for Cora.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't want to go too far with it because the text line brings this up. Breslow is like the 11th choice or whatever. True. But since then, he's saved him a bunch of money, and he's brought in guys like Crochet and Bregman. And I would guess ownership, even if they weren't initially high on Breslow, I'd imagine that he has carved out more power. You've brought up Theo now a couple of times, which I find interesting. I want to circle back to that in a moment. But do you think Cora has more power than Breslow, or who do you think holds more power? Answer your own question.
I think right now Breslow.
Me too.
And I would have never guessed that a year ago, but the way that this team continues to perform with the same mistakes and inconsistencies year after year, you've just run out of other fall guys. This franchise loves a fall guy. They love being weaselly behind the scenes and making it look like somebody else's fault that they're not in the playoffs. And I think you've gotten to the point where now there's nobody left. Like, unless it's John Henry and ownership, and it will never be because they own the team. So they, at the end of the day, control everything.
They're invested in, you know, Fenway Corners and the big building behind the Green Monster and all that stuff. What do I think of what?
The Fenway, all the renderings that came out from Fenway Corners. Like the little shopping plaza they're building there and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand why ownership would want to do that. It's really, at the end of the day, I guess not that different than Patriot Place.
Does it need it? Like, that's my question. I feel like Fenway is so built out. Do you need more of that?
Well, I mean, but they're just chasing more money, which I understand. I just don't like doing that at the sacrifice of the baseball team, which is kind of what feels like is going on. So that,
how many
that I don't
Sephoras
like.
Do we need next to the ballpark?
I'll tell you what. You know what I could use? You know what I could use, though, Nick? I could use a nice... Nobody sells headphones anymore. Like, I'm trying to go into a brick and mortar to buy headphones. I ruined my headphones.
Best Buy or something like that.
I know. Where's the closest... There's no Best Buy in the city anymore, I don't think.
Go to Target.
Go build one of those. Can I get a good set of headphones at Target?
Probably.
I don't like ordering them. I don't like ordering them and waiting for them to show up and see if they fit on my head. I don't like it.
So give me
a good brick and mortar by Fenway, okay, and then I'm on board. Yeah.
I was on my way down to Gillette, and I realized I didn't have my earbuds. And so I stopped in at the CVS in Milton, and I was like, where are the earbuds? Are they behind the counter? Woman looked at me like I had three heads. She was like, you're trying to buy earbuds
at CVS? I'm not an earbuds guy. Yeah.
I was like, they're just headphones, like a wired headphone. Do you have that? She was like, no, you're going to have to go to Target. Like, what? She was like, maybe Walmart. I was
at CVS?
CVS is supposed to have everything.
They'd have them locked up, though. They'd be like, you need headphones?
Well,
I'm sorry. They're behind plexiglass.
My deodorant's locked up now. Why are we locking up the toothpaste?
I'm sure because you can make the...
What can you make out of toothpaste?
I don't know. Toosie? pink cocaine, I'd imagine. I don't know all the ingredients that go into that.
A bag full of princess toothpaste? That's what it was?
Yeah, sir. Our butted headphones are locked up behind the glass. 617-779-7937. That is your phone number and your text line. Good text here. Holy flashback. I just tuned in, heard you two, and instantly thought Arcan's out sick again. That's true. That's honestly very accurate. You're like, wait a minute. Why is Arcan sick again? No,
he's got strep throat for the 40th time.
No, he's just on vacation this week is what he's doing. Dave is in Springfield. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking it. You know, this all goes back to Henry. You know, why would anybody want to come to Boston and play? I mean, obviously Bogart, Mookie Betts didn't want to play here anymore. He didn't hear what he wanted to hear right away, so he left. But what they did to Bogarts, I think, just started a really ugly trend. And Cora's job is to keep the players happy. If they're not going to win or make a lot of money, he's going to be a player-friendly manager. And it's just a shame to watch it all happen. I wish Henry would just realize that, you know, he can't feel a competitive baseball team because he doesn't want to spend the money.
Yeah, well, hang on, but you just answered your own question. If he spends the money, he'll get the player. It's why he got Bregman. It's why there's a lower level addition, but Chapman, I mean, if you're going to give a guy the best offer, they're going to come here. They don't, I mean, what do you think about Bregman, by the way? So I heard Chris and Greg talk about this morning. Chris seems to think it's because Boris is representing Bregman, and Boris was squawking last week about a new contract for Bregman. It's like a fait accompli. He's going to opt out. I would be shocked. Bregman's been off the field for 2 months, or by the time he comes back, it'll be like 2 months. I'd be shocked if he opts out. I'd be stunned if he could get more than $40 million a year on the open market. Like you said earlier, you'd think about reworking the deal if you were the Red Sox, or at least getting him to an extension. I would call his bluff, and I love Bregman. I love that signing.
You would let him try out the market?
I don't think they're going to. He's not going to get $40 million on the open market. So I'd say go out there and try to get better than $40 million, and then come crawling back. This is the best you're going to have, and opt in. Like I think Boris is squawking because, of course, it's good business for Boris to try to get an extension right now for his player.
They're
not
going to
opt out because the money won't be there. I'm sorry, what?
Has he started any Dr. Seuss rhymes yet?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not that I've heard.
Because when he starts doing that, that's when you know he's getting dangerous.
Got it.
That's when you know the bluff, you've called too much, you bluffed too much. He's like, that's his tell, that he's feeling himself.
When
he
starts rhyming.
When he starts telling the Dr. Seuss rhymes. I would like them to rework the deal. I don't want them to test it with Bregman. I don't think that they're in a position with their roster where he's top three player on the team, if not top two.
Oh, I think he's their best player. And so, but I don't think he's going to get more money on the open market. And to answer the
call, it works in his favor that he's been injured and away from the field. I mean, it works in the team's favor,
yes,
rather.
Correct.
That they're going to be in a better position where it's not like he's showing out and an automatic all-star and then going to be able to go out to the market. I get that. I just don't think that this front office in any iteration has proven themselves very good at letting players test the market and holding on to them.
Well,
and saying they haven't demonstrated, okay, even though you like Breslow, I don't think they've demonstrated a great understanding of what the value is out
but
there.
But with Betts, you knew there was more money out there. There's not more money. Do you think Bregman's going to go out on the open market and get more than $40 million?
No, but what if it gets to a situation where he then wants to just shake his butt at this front office because it's dysfunctional.
But I'm telling you, I personally don't think that's the case, to answer the caller. He said guys aren't going to want to come here.
Yeah.
And my example would be, well, if you pay them, they will. Bregman's the example. And
yeah,
so
I think
Bregman would hold his nose. I don't think he's thrilled about how it's going, but he's going to stay here because it's the most money.
Yeah, I would like a situation where they could figure it out where he's not just staying here for next year, but they could work out something beyond that because he's got so many outs in this deal and they have moved on from Rafael Devers. Like, you made the decision by moving on from Rafi that it's going to be a Bregman team. So actually make it a Bregman team. I don't like the whole just let him go out and test it so that you can save yourself a couple million dollars here and there. Like, quite frankly, I just don't really care that much about them.
No, I mean, look, admit it. I'm not going to have an issue with them handing him an extension. I just think I wouldn't overreact to Boris squawking about a new contract.
No.
That's
no,
all
no.
I'm saying. Like, I know what Boris is doing. Boris is trying to get
doing his job.
Correct. He's doing a really good job. I just wouldn't fall for it if I'm the Red Sox because I don't think there's more money out there. I like the deal they have in place for him. I wouldn't touch it, personally.
He's got no leverage, really.
Yeah.
Other than being one of the only good players on the team right now.
It's a risk, and you bring up they don't exactly have a great track record with it, which is fair. 617-779-7937. I mentioned this weekend I was in the state of Maine, again, early candidate.
Why do you keep bragging about
that? For brag of the week. I do like this text that said, I can't believe...
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody let you into our beautiful state, Jones. I got bad news for you, Maine. I'll be back there for the 4th of July.
What?
Yeah. I'll be
sick brag, bro.
Jones, step off my corner. Are you trying to like take over Maine?
I'll be double dipping in Maine. So not only was I allowed in there, I'm coming back, state of Maine. So get ready for it. Although, as another Texan pointed out, not for the Boothbay Regatta. That pitch did not go over well with the higher ups when we brought it up.
The Boothbay Regatta.
Yeah. Oh, you never heard? You're Miss Maine over there. You never heard of the Boothbay Regatta?
I don't.
It's a regatta in Boothbay.
I don't go around Boothbay a lot, to be honest.
How far is that?
It's north of Portland. It's like an hour.
An hour north of
maybe an hour.
Yeah, that's Maine too, I think, is how they refer to that. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Bruins later on this hour. More on the Celtics as well. Plus, what should the Red Sox do at the trade deadline? To me, they are right on the line. You're three games in it, come trade deadline, come the All-Star break even. I still want you to go after a playoff spot. But if you get any worse and they're teetering right on that line, they might have to look themselves in the mirror and start selling. So which direction should the Red Sox go? We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.